If you weren't with us last week, we started season 6 of Becoming Heartstrong. We joined Pastor Jason in Orleans via our incredible screens, and Pastor Jason brought a word. And we're going to dive into part 2 of that word. Some of it is a reminder of what it is that we've already talked about. Just speaking with Pastor Jason and Pastor Jeff, the other campus pastors, just the depth of what it was that we covered last week. One of the things that I was talking about with individuals last Sunday was last week's message was one that I had to go back this week and listen to again, right? There was just so much depth and gold that Pastor Jason walked us through. And truly, the book of Nehemiah is just like that. If you haven't read the book of Nehemiah before, it is an incredible, incredible, incredible message of what happens in our lives when God can touch a heart, can turn their attention to something that he has already deigned to bring to completion, and what it means to actually step into those places, relying on God for all different levels of leadership. And so today, as we dive back into Heartstrong Season 6, we will be reading from Nehemiah once again. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 11 to 12 is where we will join in just a moment. But I do want to bring to your attention a couple of incredible opportunities that we have. Two nights ago, I was able to join our youth and junior highs and a couple of incredible panelists as we sat with our youth on Friday night and talked about apologetics. What does it look like to defend your faith? And it was so beautiful. And as we sat with the young people, I'm excited to tell you today that we have been approved for 4 summer grants this year to hire students and young people. And so if you are out there looking for an awesome place to work, you can go ahead on to lifecenter.org/jobs, and you can take a look at all the different positions that are available here in Kanata and apply for those. We will be conducting our interviews very shortly. A big shout out to our Canada Summer Jobs students that we had last year. They did an awesome job. And so we're just so honored to have 4 different positions to be able to extend to our incredible congregation and our young people. And so on there, you'll see all the qualifications, all the things that you're going to need in order to be able to apply. And if you check all the boxes, please, please, please hand in your resumes super, super quick. Church, it was a blessing to be with Pastor Skyler and the young people. And we are in good hands. God is at work in that next generation. I don't know if Pissimi is here this morning, but I misquoted her really, really poorly on Friday night. And so if you're here or you're watching, my apologies. You know, I tried to like lay into that really cool quote that she gave us when she was hosting. You remember that one? She was like, you don't have to be perfect to come to Jesus, but like when you come and meet with Jesus, he will help you be perfect or live a life of faith. I don't know. I really butchered it. But if you know Pissimi, make sure that you just encourage her and reach out. If you see one of our young people today, make sure that you encourage them and reach out. Nehemiah had this incredible moment of burden on his life. We talked about that last week. It was just this unshakable understanding that God wanted him to challenge the king to go and get permission to return to Israel and rebuild the walls. And on Friday night, I felt that same burden as I walked in and I was like, wow, isn't it cool to be right back in this youth space? I was a youth pastor for 11 years and I walked back in and already there's so much slang that I don't understand. And I watched those young people playing Capture the Flag and I told Cass, I said, if they played one more round, I was ready to jump in. The first 3 rounds, all I could feel was my old knees, right? But that 4th round, if there was a 4th, so very thankful that there wasn't. But it was so funny sitting on the panel and watching. We had our very own Susan. We had Jeff and Ben who were all sharing on that night. They did an incredible job. And I told Pastor Skyler before stepping into that space, I said, you know, I am going to try not to say much. And Cass laughed when I told her that. I said, wow, thank you. But I really did want to lean out of that space because it's so easy in those Q&A moments. It's so easy in those moments when tough questions to come up where people will just look to the left and say, I don't know, Pastor, what do you think? I love the story of Nehemiah because it really places the burden on all of us. A reminder that God has not simply called ministers to operate in this world as the church, but he has called each and every one of us. If you're here this morning and you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you have repented and you've experienced those forgiveness, that incredible moment where your sins have been forgiven and you are made new, I want to encourage you this morning. You are called. You're called. Maybe not necessarily to stand up on stage with a microphone in your shorts when you haven't visited the tanning room in a long time. Maybe that's not the call on your life. But what is the call on your life is that when God enters into your story, it changes everything. The home that you live in. Maybe you were super excited about the deal or super excited about the neighborhood or super excited about the proximity that you had to a certain school. Or maybe there's just things about the home that you live in right now where you're like, this is why we got this place. Can I challenge you this morning that the reason that you have the home that you have is because of God? He has planted you there in that neighborhood for a purpose. The job that you have, the school that you're going to, the sports teams that you're on, students, loved ones this morning, I want to encourage you. It is not just your skills. It is not just the marks that you got on some tests. It was not just your ability to keep your eyes open all the way through university. Although that is a gift in itself, isn't it? Right? For those that know, we say amen. But what it is it's actually a deeper understanding that all of these things are positional, that God has positioned us here in Ottawa for a purpose. Church, we have such an incredible opportunity and call. When I've been talking to people about revival, and ever since I started into ministry, I know and I truly believe that we're actually experiencing a revival across Canada and here in Ottawa right now. Do you know? Pastor Jason gave these incredible numbers last week. If you were here, you heard them, of the amount of people that attended Life Center on Easter. Wow. But every pastor that I've spoken to in the Ottawa area, their church also experienced record numbers in attendance. Hello? That's amazing. The church that I came for in Bethel, they saw record numbers. The other church right beside Orleans, a community Pentecostal church in Orleans, they saw record numbers. We saw record numbers down in churches that I know in Barrhaven, out in Stittsville, in Carlton Place, just people saying, we didn't do anything different. And yet the room was full. Church, we have such an opportunity. May one of the burdens that God sits in this place today, may one of the burdens that God sets in our lives be this understanding that you are not in Ottawa by accident. And if God is going to start revival somewhere, why not in the nation's capital? Why not here and now? Why not at the place where all these laws are governed and all these things are taking place? Let this be the city. Let this be the surrounding area that proclaims the name of Jesus. And you are not here by accident for such a time as this. Last week, Pastor Jason challenged us that as our burden is set on our hearts, that we identify what it is that we're seeing, what it is that we're feeling, and identify where it is that God wants to move in that thing. I love this line. I just wanted to repeat it today, that we are not to be formed by what we feel. That we are not to be formed by what we feel. See, a lot of the burdens that God will set on your heart is when we look at the world that we live in and when we see sin that is active and deeply in rooted, may it burden us for freedom. When we see things taking place where it is just injustice to its very root, may it burden us for freedom. Church, when we see racism at work, may we stand in that place and say, I know that I know that I know that God is not in that. But we can't be formed by our feelings. It's not wrong to feel. I'm just going to release that today. It is not wrong to feel. Men, here, you can weep. Jesus wept, we can weep, all right? It's not just permission for me. We won't cry, all right? We'll lay that. We will not cry, but we'll weep, right? There's a difference. Jesus wept, we can weep. Ladies, you'll never catch us crying. You may catch us weeping, all right? Spiritually, in the presence of the Lord, right? With his hand upon us. It is okay to feel. It's okay to be frustrated by the things that we see. It's okay to be angry about the things that we see. It's okay to be saddened by the things that we see. It's okay to throw our hands up and say, God, where are you? But it's not okay to be formed by those feelings. Nothing spreads the gospel slower than an angry Christian. Hello? Nothing spreads the gospel slower than a Christian who only bears the weight of judgment. Nothing spreads the gospel slower than somebody who bears the name of Jesus and yet cannot grasp who it was that Jesus truly is. Let us find our hope and our joy this morning. Let us find our positional selves and our burdens in Christ and in him alone. Those things that spark us, may they catch our attention, but may the follow-up be, okay, God, how will you deal with that thing? Because I know it makes me upset. I know it makes me frustrated. I know it makes me sad, but I'm going to trust, God, that you're in it. And church, as we follow after the Lord in the midst of our burdens, that will be where you will also find freedom from the burden that God has set on your heart. Understanding, just as Pastor Jason said last week, that these burdens are God-sent, and if they are God-sent, they will be God-fueled. Why is it so important for us to find this burden, to find and anchor our hope in God? Because if your burden is from God, then you are attempting to solve an issue that others don't want solved. Someone is benefiting from the brokenness of others. Someone is hiding in what it is that they don't have to grow in what it is that and what could be. Strongholds are at work in our city. Thwart. What a weird word. Why did I write that? Have you ever done that before where you write a word, you're like, wow, that's so smart. Then you try to say it out loud. You're like, why didn't I just say something else? So strongholds are at work to thwart. What a weird word. All right. Wherever God desires to work. But here is your encouragement today. Darkness doesn't know where God will move next. I'll say that again. Those strongholds may be at work to come against what God is doing. Darkness does not know where God will move next. It can only recognize the signs of where he is at work currently. We see this in the story of Nehemiah, where it is very clear, as Pastor Jason pointed out last week, that the lack of walls signified that Israel was exposed, signified that Israel no longer had an identity, signified that for those that were surrounding and those that were involved, that maybe God was distant. But God was at work. And Nehemiah was called for such a time as this. Church, one more encouragement before we dive into our scripture today. Opposition is not always a sign that you're on the wrong path. Opposition is not always a sign that you're on the wrong path. Sometimes it actually indicates that you are precisely where God wants you to be. Hallelujah. Right? Sometimes as you find yourself in that position where it just doesn't seem like any doors are going to open or it seems like everyone is coming against you, you may be exactly where God needs you to be. This is where Nehemiah found himself. So as he went to Jerusalem and was there 3 days, Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 to 12 and then 16. Then I arose in the night, I and a few men with me, and I told no one what God had put in my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, and had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do the work. Nehemiah's burden brings him close to the problem. But he takes time in assessing the problem before he begins to share with others about what it is that he's about to do. Pastor Jason pointed this out last week as well, that as God settles a burden on your heart, who is the first one that you should go to? The Lord. As God settles that burden on your heart, we need to be careful about who it is that we speak to about what it is that God has placed on our heart. It is so easy to be discouraged. One of the greatest things that God ever introduced me to when I was in a youth pastor position was the lack of encouragement in our culture today. What do you mean, Pastor? Test this out. In your family, before you go today, whatever circles where you have influence, I want you to sit down with people today and just speak one word that God would put on your heart for them. That's it. Take a moment, 30 seconds or a minute, sit in that space together and ask God to just give you one word to speak over that person who's sitting across from you, or to speak over someone in your left if you have enough people to make a circle. And watch the transformational power that takes place in that room as encouragement is spoken. Church, we live in a culture right now where our first response is typically discouragement or sarcasm. Right? This inability for us to speak life over the person across from us. If you're in high school right now, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Youth will weep at just the mention of who it is that they actually are. As God speaks encouragement into the room, there is such a lack of encouragement in their circles that it will absolutely begin to sew their heart back together, I promise. Parents, if you're in this room, just speak life. Speak life. Nehemiah has this burden. He has this problem, but instead of quickly sharing with the priests and the nobles and the officials, knowing that God has sent him here, he understands. He's already seen favor in front of the king. Nehemiah approaches the issue, but before speaking, he seeks the Lord. He wants to assess what it is that God wants to do. He wants people to just walk with him and see the things that he's seeing so that when he presents the burden, that they will be ready to receive. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision." And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the word that the king had spoken to me. And they said, "Rise up and built." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for who you are. Lord, I thank you for this message, this short series inside of HeartStrong Season 6, of the burdens that you will place on our hearts. God, give us the ears to hear. God, soften our hearts, so that when we see these burdens, that we aren't just overwhelmed with anger or disappointment, but God, soften our hearts so that we can hear your whisper in the midst of it all. God, I pray that you would continue to send servants to this church who don't want to be seen, who don't want notice, who don't want recognition. They simply want to know, God, why have you placed me here for such a time as this? Lord, as we embrace collectively what it is that you've called the church to do in this city, as we embrace individually why it is that you've placed us here, as we embrace, Lord God, the burdens that you set on our heart, may we also take that step to say, God, you first. God, as you place these burdens on our hearts, may we go to you first and just invite people to take a look at what it is that you've placed there. And so, God, do something fresh and do something new in this room today. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah and a couple of the priests, a few of the nobles, a few of the officials, the rest who are with them, they draw close to the problem. And Nehemiah is clear about what it is that God has burdened him to do. He is also has the wisdom to understand that he has not been called to do it alone. Church, I want to encourage you today that you collectively are the church. Individually, you are not. Individually, you are a follower of God, but as we join in community, we are the church. This is the incredible thing that God has put in place from the moment that the disciples, as they were staring up into heaven, were called to wait in the upper room for the coming Holy Spirit. From that moment, God sent the message that, yes, my son could have done it, but my wisdom is to use all of you. Collectively, as God places these burdens on our hearts, may we also not only ask God where it is that we should go, but who should come along with us. Church, I want to encourage you today that some of the injustices that drive you insane, some of the things that you've seen in the city where you know that it's just not right, God has put that burden on your heart, but there's also someone else in this room that gets fired up about the same thing. Young people, whether you're in university or high school, you may feel like you're the only Christian in that place, but I want to encourage you. God has many soldiers and many spies who are walking alongside you. You just may not know it yet. So start a Christian club. Carve out a space where it begins to become public knowledge somewhere on the campus, somewhere on the schoolyard, that people are seeking the Lord. And watch what God does. Not so young people, I want to encourage you as well that the burdens that God has placed on your heart, you are not alone. God's light is alive all over the city. What God did on Easter is not simply that we can step back and say, wow, look at that big number of people. That's not the important thing. The important thing is to catch the heart of what God is doing, that God is drawing people onto himself. Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. The encouragement for Easter Sunday is not for us to look at a number of people that were in seats on Easter weekend. No, it's to catch the heart of what that signifies, that God is drawing people onto himself. And if God is drawing people onto himself, he's doing it for one reason: transformation. And in the midst of transformation, there will be freedom. Someone say freedom. Oh, someone say it like it belongs to you this morning. We're free. We're free. Why is it that Easter Sunday people flocked to hear the word of the Lord? Because we have been created to be free. It is the enemy opposing God's plan that brings imprisonment and captivity. But we have been created to be free. And if you are here this morning and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are free. If you're here this morning and you haven't made that commitment yet to identify that he did die on the cross and he was risen on the third day, you can be free as well. This is the burden of our hearts. Yes, we want to see injustice taken care of. Yes, we want to see God begin to move. But what we really want to see is for people all across the city, in our neighborhoods, in our schools, in our workplaces, on their hands and knees, identifying Jesus is Lord. That transformation of the inward working of the Holy Spirit will do more for our city than any law that any government will ever pass. Ooh, I'm going to say that again. The inward transformation and working of the Holy Spirit in people's lives will do more for this city than any law that any government will ever pass. This is the burden of those of us who know Jesus as the Lord, as our Lord and Savior. Our burden is to go out and reach all of the nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to get excited every time one of our young people say, I want to do that. What is the baptism tank here for? It's to identify that today we have 4 individuals in our first service, 3 individuals in our second service, and who knows what else God is doing in this place who would say, I want to live for Jesus. Church, we're not called to coerce, manipulate, or force others to bear this divine burden, but instead we are called to bring the issue to the attention of ourselves, to entrust it to the Holy Spirit, and then to begin to pray in one accord that God would work a transformation in our midst. Now watch what happens the moment Nehemiah goes from silence to solution. Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 19. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? Now listen to how Nehemiah responds, because he already knows that he has the king's favor. Don't forget, he was the cupbearer. He responds this way, and I love it. Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. Nehemiah understands where true authority lies. So he addresses the opposition without becoming preoccupied with them. Experiencing both favor and opposition, walls that have been ruins for years. Nehemiah chapter 16, 15 says this. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. In 52 days, the walls were rebuilt. And when all of our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Isn't this the desire of our heart? That burden that God has placed on your heart, that burden that God maybe even right now is beginning to stir, maybe even this last week as you were focused on the teachings from Pastor Jason from the book of Nehemiah, maybe God has begun to illuminate things. Church, it is not just for us to ask God, how will we do it? The question truly is, God, how will we do it so that they can see you? God, how will this burden be accomplished so that none of the praise will be laid at our feet? As we've said before many times, it is not important that the city knows who Life Center Kanata is. Hello? It is important that the city knows that God is here, he is present, he is in the room, and he is fighting on our behalf. He is going before us. There are things that have yet to be seen in this city that God is already paving the way. These baptism waters that are filled here and in Orleans and in Cornwall, they signify God at work in our young, in our old, and in our families. The book of Esther, which we'll get into this week, in season 6 of Heartstrong, puts it this way, Esther chapter 4, 13 to 14. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do you think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews? For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. The book of Esther is incredible. An opportunity for this woman who was placed into such a position of power at a time where her people were being oppressed and there was a plan of attack that was put in place. And Mordecai speaks this timely word. Who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Church, you could have been born at any time in history. But God chose to have you here right now. Whether you're online or in the sound of my voice, if you're here this morning and you're wondering what your purpose is, maybe you're here this morning and the enemy's been putting that pressure on your mind and on your heart that you're a mistake, that no one cares. I want you to just underline and highlight those words in Esther. What if you were chosen for such a time as this. I tell my kids all the time, I would have been an incredible knight. I know you're picturing it right now, right? Full armor, big sword. I would have been awesome, right? If God had wanted me to be in that time, I know I would have been great. But that wasn't what he chose. He chose to place me here. He chose to surround me with such an incredible cloud of witnesses present here right now in Life Center Kanata. He chose that we would all be placed here in Ottawa at this time. What a unique time in this world's history. What a unique time in this city's history. What a unique time in Kanata Church's history to look around and see all the faces and all the families and all the people that God is gathering here. Why? Because the Lord has a burden for this city. And the Lord has a burden for your workplace. And the Lord has a burden for your school. And he's got a burden for your family. He's got a burden for your friends. He's got a burden for your neighborhoods. And he has a burden for this church. Our challenge is to spend enough time in that quiet, secret place with God that we can begin to hear not just the things that trouble us in our day-to-day life, but what are the things that God is calling us to do. Church, we are living in the midst of revival, where people are coming to God and they are hungry and they're asking questions and they are honestly seeking the truth. In this age of overwhelming information, it can be hard to find what is actually true. But God's word has stood the test of time, and it points straight to the cross over and over and over again, that there is nothing more real, nothing more transformative than what Jesus did on that fateful day on the hill of Calvary. 3 days later, breath was breathed into that tomb. And the stone was rolled away so that you and I could truly live. This is the burden for our city. And so this morning, as we have sang, that God would be our joy. This morning, as we have watched our beloved family members take the plunge into the waters of baptism, this morning, as we have read through this incredible story of Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls, as we have been challenged from Esther, those incredible words, what if you were chosen for such a time as this? Beloved, this morning, can you hear God speaking your name? I love you. I'm with you. Darkness does not win, for the light defeats the darkness. No matter what opposition may be coming against you, the word of the Lord says that it is greater he that is in you than anything that the enemy can bring in opposition. So every day, put on helmet of salvation that is only given from the Lord. Put on that breastplate. Put on those sandals and walk in peace. Not peace that you can develop, amen? But the peace that comes from the Lord. And if you're going to be that soldier for such a time as this, then grab the word of the Lord that is sharper than any double-edged sword. That will be able to stand in the midst as the enemy presents you with all these different options and all these different temptations. Your best weapon in a day, in an age of darkness, is to let the light shine brightly from your heart outwards. What is the burden that God is placing on your heart? Go to him in prayer. Meet with him in that quiet place. I'm so thankful to sit under the leadership of Pastor Jason and Pastor Lori. If you're wondering what it is that Life Center's burden is, it is to make disciples that will go and make a Jesus-sized difference in this city. this building will not be able to accomplish all of the burdens that are on your heart. But glory be to Jesus, this church, this building is not the church. Come on. As we go out from this place, God will multiply. He will do the miraculous. He will change what you assume can't be changed, because we do not work on what it is that we can see. But we operate out of faith, a belief that God is present, and just as he did in our lives, so he will continue to do.